Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our God. Amen. Christian author Max Lucado writes about a summer experience. He needed money to begin thinking about going to college, so he takes a job laying pipe in the Texas oil fields. For him, it was a summer job. For the others, it was their livelihood. The majority of the workers were illegal immigrants from Mexico, and the others were drifters. He writes that they weren't much to listen to. He goes on to say, our language was sandpaper coarse, and after lunch, we would light up cigarettes and tell jokes. Someone would have a deck of cards, and for 30 minutes in the heat of the day, the oil patch becomes Las Vegas, playing blackjack. In the middle of such a game, his foreman approaches the group. They thought he had a job for them, and it couldn't wait just a few more minutes. And like the others, he said he groaned as he saw him coming toward them. The foreman looked nervous, and he shifted from one leg to another, and then he began to speak. Fellas, I just wanted to invite you. The man definitely, Lucado writes, was out of his comfort zone. He had no idea what the foreman was going to say, but he knew it had nothing to do with work. He goes on, I just want to tell you that our church is having a service tonight. And Lucado writes, what? I couldn't believe it. He's talking about church here and with us. I just want to say, if any of you would like to come, silence, screaming silence. Several of the guys stared down at the ground. A few of us glanced at each other. Well, the foreman continued, if any of you want to go, just let me know. After he left, we turned to each other and laughed. We poked fun of him, daring each other to go. No doubt the foreman knew that he became the butt of the joke for the rest of the day, but probably thought he probably did no good. But he was wrong. A couple of years later, Lucado was going to be a sophomore in college, and he was struggling with a life decision. He had drifted from the faith that his parents encouraged him and modeled for him. And he wanted to go back to that faith that he had known. But the price was going to be high. His friends might laugh at him for such a decision. His habits had to change. His reputation would have to be overcome. He wondered, could he do it? Did he have the courage? And then he thought about that foreman in the Texas oil fields. He thought how that man's love for God was greater than his love for his reputation. The man's obedience was greater than his common sense. This man cared more about making disciples than making a first impression. The foreman became his motivation to go back to God. This story is not unlike the story in our gospel. It's about someone who took a risk at lunch. All four gospels have the feeding of the great crowd. It's John's gospel that we actually know, he says it was a little boy who had the lunch. The boy's lunch wasn't much. In fact, it wasn't anything compared to what was needed to feed the crowd that day. He probably wrestled as he was asked to take his lunch to feed the crowd. He probably wrestled with the silliness of it all. What was his little lunch going to do with this big problem they had for feeding all these people? But he summoned the courage, got up, and walked over to that crowd of grown-ups. If anyone guessed what he was about to do, they probably would have laughed at him, thinking, shaking their heads, this kid doesn't know what he's doing. The little boy, the foreman, both use lunch to help others. Both chose faith over logic. Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 has a greater lesson than meeting someone's physical needs. Jesus is the bread of life, the spiritual food that Isaiah speaks about in our Old Testament lesson. He offers us rich food. What he's offering us is fellowship with him. When connected with him, he sustains us in all of life. Isaiah is not describing some meager, small meal, rather a rich feast. The spiritual food that he gives allows us, causes us, for our spirits to soar and our singing of his praises. Like the little boy and the foreman, we cannot keep the spiritual food to ourselves. We also have a compelling story. We have found the living water that quenches our very soul. In the waters of holy baptism, we know the essence of who we are. The first Sunday of every month, we lift up our young people's anniversary of their baptisms. That is the rich feast that God has for us. And parents, you are so blessed that you can journey together with your child on this faith walk. The very living water that quenches our soul. We have also found the sustaining bread that satisfies our hearts. We come to the table and we leave with a sense of peace that our hearts long for and which we are satisfied. We have found the joy that the world cannot give us and cannot take from us. And it's all free, without cost, because our God in Christ paid for it. So why are we, or why are so many, spiritually malnutrition? Isaiah tells us we don't have to labor for this spiritual food. It's easy to love our God. Spiritual malnutrition is the result of our not responding. We will never find what satisfies us if we aren't seeking. I hope that's why you're here, that you're constantly seeking. And in that seeking, we find ourselves responding, calling on our Lord and responding to the abundant gifts that he has for us, and knowing that those gifts do exactly what they should. They change us. Responding is trusting him. And that's what's required in opening ourselves to his gracious invitation. Come, buy, eat, hear, seek. The imperatives that Isaiah uses there in his text are still there for us to respond to. My prayer is that we respond. We have our RSVP. Not once, but continually. Lord, in gratitude, we come. And I pray that our response, our RSVP, is always also, Lord, in gratitude, I come. Amen.